Does truth exist?
Because you have faith, does that make this book true?
Does God exist?
So when someone says there is no truth, if you apply the claim to itself, what should you say? Is that true? They don't think Christianity's true. They're talked out of it. You know why they're talked out of it? Because they've never been talked into it.
Cross-examining skeptical and atheistic views. Welcome to Cross-Examine with Dr. Frank Turek.
The Associated Press this week, ladies and gentlemen, ran this story picked up by several news outlets. Here was the headline: Israeli archaeologist says he's found citadel captured by King David. This was, as I say, picked up by many different news organizations. Fox News picked it up, as well as many others. Again, Israeli archaeologist says he's found citadel captured by King David. You can read the article for yourself. The Israeli archaeologist is a man that my friend Dr. Bob Cornuke has met and has discussed many subjects with just in the past year. And I've got Bob on the phone with us for the entire hour today because providentially his new book has come out just when this article from the Associated Press came out. And we're going to explain what this new book is about and the implications of this book. Are political, religious, historical. It runs the gambit. And the question is that Bob is investigating in this new book is what is or what was the true location of Solomon's Temple and Herod's Temple? Everyone's going to say, well, of course, it's on the Temple Mount. That's what we're going to talk about today. Is it really the Temple Mount? Is that really where Herod's Temple was? And before that, Solomon's Temple? Well, the new book by my friend Bob Cornuke, the real Indiana Jones, who, by the way, will be co-leading a trip with me to Israel 1 month from this weekend. We're leaving June 11th. We'll return on June 21st. And if you want more details on the trip, go to our website, crossexamine.org. You can join us if you like. Anyway, Bob's new book is called Temple. The subtitle is Amazing New Discoveries That Change Everything About the Location of Solomon's Temple. And for those of you that don't know Bob, you probably should because he's been on this program several times before. He and I normally lead trips to Israel or the footsteps of Paul. We've done the previous couple of summers. As I say, we're going to do it again this year to Israel itself. Bob is the real Indiana Jones. He's been out there looking for many amazing archaeological discoveries, among them Noah's Ark. I've been on an expedition with him to Iran. He's been on several others himself, up Mount Ararat and other areas. He's been looking also for the real Mount Sinai, and I think he's found it in Saudi Arabia. We've had a program on that here on Cross Examined before. He may have found the anchors of Paul's shipwreck off of Malta. We've talked about that on this program before. And also, of course, one of the granddaddies of them all in terms of archaeological discoveries would be the Ark of the Covenant. This new book actually has some more information on that. The new book, again, is called Temple, Amazing New Discoveries That Change Everything About the Location of Solomon's Temple. So the great Bob Cornuke is on with me. Bob, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, Frank, thanks for having me.
Hey, Bob, you got to tell me about this guy who is the subject of this new Fox News article and is also prominent in your new book. He's an archaeologist. He is the director of excavations at the City of David. Who is this guy?
Well, he's the real deal. He's been over there for 20 years, and there's several new discoveries that I was privy to. We got to know him in time. I took a couple of trips. And then he was just—he was really transparent towards the end. He was talking about this great find underneath the city of David by the Gihon Springs, and it was a temple dated to the time of Solomon, and it had rings on inside where you can see where they tied up the animals, the blood channels where the blood would have been led away. You can see where the tables were set where they did the sacrifices. There was even a hole in the ground. You can see it was an olive press. Of course, that's part of the process of sanctifying, of anointing the priests before they go into worship into the temple. And also they need running water, spring water, and that is at the Gihon Springs. Just to cut to the chase, we believe that the Temple of Solomon can be proven biblically and extra-biblically, without a doubt, to be over the Gihon Springs, which is owned. That's the old city of David. That's owned by Jerusalem. It's owned by Israel, so they can rebuild the temple without having any confrontation with the Muslims up on the Temple Mount. And I have several rabbis and several world leaders contacting me on this, and just had meetings with scholars all last week, and guys are saying this could be a game changer in the Middle East if this is true what I'm saying.
Now, you're not actually the first one to say this, because as you say in the preface of your book, there was an archaeologist by the name of Martin, I believe, who
Martin. He's the brainchild of this. He's the brainchild of this going back to the 90s. Mm-hmm. And for the life of me, I don't know why people didn't go up and scarf his book down, because he goes into great detail, and it was a great help in me writing my book. Hopefully I added a fresh new chapter to this and the things that I've discovered over there, and there's a lot of new discoveries that we have. But the credit goes to him for being the real grandfather, of this all. And Ernst Martin was brilliant, but he received a lot of criticism. And it was sad to see the criticism. They just piled on him, and he couldn't get traction with his book to the point where I thought it should be.
Now, the gentleman that you met over in Israel, who is the director of excavations at the City of David, his name is Eli Shukran. Is that the way you pronounce it?
It's Eli Shukran.
Eli Shukran. And we will see him next month when we go to Israel, correct?
Yes, I'll have him meet the group, and they'll be able to talk to him.
Now, tell me a little bit about this guy. What has he been doing for the past two decades?
He's the man. He's the head of excavations in the City of David. He's the one that's been in control of everything, and he made some phenomenal finds. He found the Pool of Siloam, which became very popular back in 2006. That's where the blind man had the mud applied to his eyes and could see again from the act of Jesus. We will go to that pool. Mm-hmm. Ellie will explain how he found it and where the tractors came and hit the rocks, and he heard the sound of the blade of the tractor going against the rock, and he went down and dug it out, and sure enough, the Pool of Siloam was there. So, the greatest gift to archaeology, or to the Bible, is really the archaeological shovels that go in and dig, because every time we overturn a shovel and we have a new find, it verifies and corroborates the scriptures as being historically accurate. I've been doing this for 28 years, and I've never seen a shovel overturn and it discounts scripture. It always illuminates the truth that exists in scripture.
Now, what we're going to talk about on this program is the evidence, both biblically and extra-biblically, for the location of the temple being in the City of David. Now, for those of you who have not been to Israel, this may be a little fuzzy to you, but I want you to picture for a second the Dome of the Rock. Everyone knows what the Dome of the Rock looks like. It's traditionally built over the area where where Herod's temple was. I want you to think, if you're looking at the Dome of the Rock with the Wailing Wall in front of you, that's called the Western Wall. To the right of that entire fortress, which Bob will describe to us after the break, to the right, about 200 yards to the right, is where the City of David begins, and is probably where, at least where Bob is saying and others are saying, that the real temple of Solomon was, and the temple of Herod was. And we're going to talk about all the details on this program. We're going to look at the Bible, and we're also going to look at the archaeological discoveries that this gentleman has made, who's been digging there for the past two decades. And providentially, all this came out in the national media this week with this headline: Israeli archaeologist says he's found citadel captured by King David. Now, what just is that citadel? Bob's going to tell us right after the break. You're listening to Cross Examined with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network. My guest is Bob Kornuk, the real Indiana Jones archaeologist. His website, baseinstitute.org. That's baseinstitute, B-A-S-E, institute.org. Back in 2 minutes. Don't touch that dial.
For Christians, the new healthcare law presents some difficult moral dilemmas. Every insurance plan is now required to cover things like the morning after pill. So if you don't want your healthcare dollars funding procedures or prescriptions that go against God's design, what should you do? Fortunately, the law allows believers a better choice. MediShare. It's Christians across America who share each other's medical bills. It's affordable. Family options average around $300 a month. Best of all, you never pay for things that break God's heart. MediShare is a healthcare choice for life.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Hey everybody, I'm Kevin Max from Audio Adrenaline, and I've seen how destructive drug and alcohol abuse can be. But also know there is a way out.
Hi, my name is Daniel. I was starting to buy pints of vodka, and I would get like a can of pop to mix it with, and then pretty soon I didn't need that can of pop, I was drinking it straight. And when I arrived at Team Challenge, one of the staff members stopped and asked, is everything okay? And I says, no, I've broken, I've lost all the hope and confidence. Oh, I know without a doubt I met Jesus at Team Challenge, and I know where I'm going today.
If you or your loved one is struggling with an addiction, don't give up. Teen Challenge has helped thousands of teens and adults across the country end their addictions through the power of Jesus Christ. You can call them toll-free at 1-855-END-ADDICTION or visit teenchallengeusa.com.
You're listening to American Family Radio.
May want to think again. My guest is Dr. Bob Kornuk, the real Indiana Jones. His website, baseinstitute.org. He's got a brand new book that has just come out in the past week. It's called Temple, Amazing New Discoveries That Change Everything About the Location of Solomon's Temple. And Bob, let's just start at the top. Where are the temples of Herod and Solomon believed to be located?
Well, the same locations of Herod and Solomon's Temple are believed to be by everybody, virtually everybody on the planet, to be on the Temple Mount. You know, every tour guide will go up there and they'll see that big gold dome. That big gold dome is a Muslim shrine called the Mosque of Omar. It's the Dome of the Rock, and so everybody goes up there and they see this big 36-acre high-walled structure. They'll see the Jews praying at the Western Wailing Wall. We've all seen iconic images of them bowing up and down in front of the stones and reading the Torah, and they have their traditional Hasidic, you know, outfits on. And then you see this big golden dome of the rock. Well, that is believed to be where the temples were located. So the Muslims praying, the Muslims that are there believe that's where Muhammad left for heaven on his horse named Barak. And that the down below we have the Jews that are praying at the Western Wailing Wall, believing those are the foundation stones of the actual temple, and they place little prayers in there in the crevice of the rock, and it's just gone on contested. No one's ever contested this in history. We have never said this is not the temple ever. They've just wholesale accepted it. When you don't challenge anything, you'll never get to the truth. So no one's ever challenged it until now.
Now, let's give a little background now for people that might not know that Jerusalem was destroyed by four or five Roman legions, which each contained between 5,000 and 6,000 men. So you had like 20, 25,000 soldiers descending on Jerusalem back in 70 A.D., and they leveled the city. How do we know they leveled the city and would have leveled everything, especially the Jewish temple? How do we know that for an historical fact?
Well, there's a couple of reasons we can know that for historical fact. Titus went in, like you said, and the temple was destroyed, and it was wholesale. It was kind of like, you know, the Custer's Last Stand. You know, there's a statement that can be made when you have rebellious people by annihilating all of them. There's a certain kind of statement that you make as a culture. We've seen this throughout history. where there's total annihilation. There was total annihilation. In fact, we have Flavius Josephus who said, if you weren't in the city at that time, you wouldn't even known that there was a building there. Any kind of a structure was there. It was completely and totally taken, every last stone from the ground, to the very stone. And even Jesus says this. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 21, 1 through 2, he says, it says, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, people say, oh, he was in the temple when he said that. No, he was. If you read carefully, he was walking away from the temple. He turned and looked at all the buildings from a lower elevation. He was going down the hill, obviously, looking up and saying, you see all those things? Not one stone will be left upon another. So we know that that is completely destroyed. And then we have Eliezer, who is the commander of Masada. You've been to Masada. It's a fabulous place to travel today. But the commander of Masada said, Jerusalem is now demolished to the very foundations and had nothing left but that monument of it preserved. I mean the camp of those, the Romans, that have destroyed it, which still dwells upon its ruins. So Eliezer is saying that Jerusalem is destroyed, and the only thing that remains out of all the destruction is the Roman fort. Well, that's what we have today. The only thing that survived in Jerusalem in that area, the temple being destroyed completely, is the Roman fort. That is that 36-acre walled-in area. And so when we have the Crusaders going there in 1099, and the Muslims are already there and control the area and already built the Dome of the Rock, when they captured Jerusalem, they went up on the Dome of the Rock, ripped off the symbol of the half moon, of the icon of or the logo of Islam, and they put a cross up there and called it Templum Domini, which is the Lord's Temple. And that's how it started. Everything started when they put that cross up there and declared it to be the Temple of Solomon. That Temple Mount at that point became a future tourist attraction that has never been contested.
So in Matthew 24, Jesus says he's going to truly I say to you, not one stone here should be left upon another, which will not be torn down. Well, quite obviously, the Temple Mount stones are still there. I mean, the base of it is. That's what we call the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall. That entire structure is still there. Are the proponents, Bob, of the temple being on the Temple Mount, are they just saying that was kind of the foundation, but the real temple was built upon that? Is that the way they can say that Jesus was right, that the Romans took down the temple but not the foundation of the temple? Is that what they would say?
That's the tourist guide explanation. But uh-huh. I was just over there with Eli Shukran, uh-huh. and what's really fascinating about what Eli has found is he found a coin underneath the Western Wailing Wall at the lowest level. Now, this is director of excavations, and I'm with him. And he finds a coin under the lowest level of those huge stones there on the Western Wailing Wall, believed to be built by Herod, right? Everybody says Herod built those. Well, Herod did not build those because they found a coin of Valerius Gratus, who was the prefect under Tiberius, which is about 15 to 26 A.D., but the coin found underneath the lowest stone blocks of the Western Wall dates to 20 A.D., Again, this is Valerius Gratus, the images on him. You can even go buy these coins on the Internet. It's pretty interesting. But Herod died in 4 B.C. So this coin, dated to 20 A.D., was found at the lowest level of stones. Underneath this, let's say you build a house, and before you pour your foundation, you drop a coin in there to 1985. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it can't be there, before that, because that's the date. That's a bookmark in time, that coin dating. So right. The Western Wailing Wall wasn't even built by Herod.
Who was it built by?
Well, it was in the time of Tiberius Caesar. So somebody there, probably Valerius Gratus, his coin was there at that time. So it's a quarter century after. Now, did Herod have a part of building and fortifying the Port Antonia, which I think that the Temple Mount is the Roman fort, the Fort Antonia. It had 10,000 people there, 6,000 soldiers, which is a togma or a legion with 6,000 soldiers and approximately 4,000 support personnel. They would have had roads, barracks, courthouses, privies. They would have had, you know, and anything that anybody that's been on a military fort now, that's a smaller version. But that housed 10,000 people. That is the Temple Mount today. That Temple Mount, those big, huge stone block walls, are the walls built by the Romans for a fort. And that's where Fort Antonia was. And if we read Scripture, it talks about that Roman fort was right over the temple. It watched the temple. It looked over the temple, and the temple being in the Gihon Springs area of the city of David. And I have a whole list of biblical and extra-biblical people telling us that's exactly where it should be, is in the citadel of David, which is just verified by Ellie.
Now, this is amazing stuff, obviously. This is kind of not only just biblically interesting, but politically interesting, because, again, if the real temple was 200 yards to the south of the Temple Mount, well, if the Jews ever did want to rebuild the temple, they could without getting anywhere near the so-called Dome of the Rock. This is amazing information here, Bob. And as for those of you out there going, well, why does everyone think it's on the Temple Mount? Well, Bob just explained part of it. If you want to go further, his new book explains more of it. And he's not the only one saying this. As we mentioned earlier, there was an archaeologist prior to him, Ernst Martin, who was saying the same kind of thing. And now we have an archaeologist in Jerusalem who has been studying or has been actually excavating there for the past 20 years, Eli Shukram, whose article appeared in the New York Times, Associated Press, excuse me, an article of his discovery appeared this week in the Associated Press. It's been picked up by Fox News, the Daily Mail UK, several other places, and it's The title of it, if you want to Google it, is Israeli Archaeologist Says He's Found Citadel Captured by King David. Bob, what is this citadel?
Well, this is the key to everything, is to where the temple's located, Frank. Mm-hmm. You have to do what I call a historical autopsy on this to be able to find the truth. And the people have not even questioned this, so how are we going to ever get the truth? Well, Ernst Martin did. He did a phenomenal job. Didn't get traction, I think, in his book at all. And I wrote this book because I felt that there would be new evidence. And I'm sort of replowing old evidence and putting in new. So forgive me for that. But I'll just go through linear. If I have the time to start this, I'll do this now before you need a break. But
yeah, we got a minute and a half for the break. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll give you a minute and a half. Now the first thing we have to find out is David conquered the Jebusite city, which was the stronghold of Zion, which was the citadel of David eventually. But at the time, it was a Jebusite city. He went up in it. He conquered it. And in 2 Samuel, it says, nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion that is the city of David. Okay, David took the stronghold of Zion that is the city of David. So the stronghold of Zion is that walled-in area, which is the citadel or city of David that they've just discovered. Right? That's a 12-acre area just south of the Temple Mount by about a quarter mile. Joel 3:17 says, so you shall know that I am the Lord your God dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. My holy mountain is the temple. Scripture in these two verses is telling us where the temple is. It says, so you shall know that I am the Lord your God dwelling where? In Zion. Where? In his temple, his holy mountain. Where's his holy mountain? It's in Zion, the city of David. Scripture is telling us, without any doubt, that the temple is in the city of David.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can go online and type in City of David. You'll see the location of the City of David being just south of the traditional Temple Mount, which Bob is saying was really the Fortress Antonia. And Bob, you had mentioned in the book, and we'll talk about it more after the break, that the Romans are not going to build a fort on low ground. They're going to build a fort on high ground, and they're going to overlook the temple. And we're going to find out why they would do that right after the break. My guest is Dr. Bob Cornuk. His new book is called Temple, Amazing New Discoveries That Change Everything About the Location of Solomon's Temple. If you want the book, it's available at baseinstitute.org. baseinstitute.org. I'm Frank Turk. Back in 2 minutes. Don't go away.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, and we are ready to go in 2014 with our Spiritual Heritage Tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then a separate trip to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. These tours look at our rich Christian heritage. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, he's a historian, he's a writer, he speaks all around the world on early American history and the founders. He's going to be joining us as we take these tours of these special places. If you would like to join us on either of the trips to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, and then also our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and Mount Vernon, we would love to have you join us in September. For more information on these tours, go to the website, spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com, or you can call for a free brochure in the mail at 800-FAMILIES, 1-800-326-4543.
You get the soil ready.
You put the seeds in and then you water it.
How do you plant a garden?
I don't know.
You pray that God will give you a good harvest.
Then you have to work it to get all the weeds away.
And then God brings the plants.
Planting a garden takes planning, hard work, and God's blessing. So does creating a lasting legacy for the people and charities that mean the most to you. The AFA Foundation is here to help you sow the financial seeds God has blessed you with in order for them to blossom for generations to come. We do this by offering free consultation and assistance in the areas of charitable gift annuities, estate planning, will and trust planning, and bequests. To learn more, call 800-326-4543, extension 345, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Where is, or where was, the Temple of Solomon, the Temple of Herod? There's a new theory out there that goes completely against the archaeological orthodoxy. And it's been put forth before, but my friend Bob Cornuke has a new book. You can get the book and decide for yourself. It's called Temple, Amazing New Discoveries That Change Everything About the Location of Solomon's Temple. Now, Bob, before we get into more of this, this is not accepted by the majority, or probably just about all, of academic archaeologists. Why do you think that is? Why are they insisting that the real temple was on what we now call the Temple Mount and not the City of David? Why would they say that?
Well, when I was doing the book, Frank, I went through such things as the encyclopedia, the Bible encyclopedia, the Bible dictionary, and they're all saying this is the one place that we know for sure. Mm-hmm. This is the one place that we don't need to check. This is where the temple was. End of subject. Now let's go to table two. And so mm-hmm. when you never contest anything, I'm an ex-police officer. When you totally discount something without checking it, that's a real poor procedure in a police investigation. You check everything, and then you come to truth. And so there's two ways that scholars come to truth. They have a thing called premise plus proof, where they put out the premise and they put out their hypothesis and they put their source material around it and they try to convince you that they're right, because they don't bring in anything that's sort of destructive to their theory. But what cops do is cut problem plus possibility. What are the problems and what are the possibilities? I found a problem. I went after it to try and find the possibilities. And we opened up a huge, this big, huge new world that we uncovered with Bible verses and historical references that show conclusively, I believe conclusively, you've never heard me say that, Frank, and anything I've ever done, mm-hmm. conclusively that this is the place where the temple should be. And one of those verses is, since they just found the Citadel of David, it says, which is where, when David took the stronghold of Zion, or the city of David, which is, again, at the time Jerusalem, we're talking about 3,000 years ago, was just a 12-acre little walled-in area. It was called the Jebusite stronghold, later to be called the city of David. The Temple Mount wasn't even a glimmer in anybody's eye. It hadn't been built. It was 1,000 years before the Romans came there, so we don't even have that. What we have is this little 12-acre area called the City of David, and David took this and bought a threshing floor there. The angel of the Lord actually told him to buy the threshing floor there. And why is this important to our theory? Because it says in 2 Chronicles 3:1, now Solomon began to build the temple at the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, at the place that David had prepared on the threshing floor for Ornan the Jebusite. Where did he build the temple? Now let's read this again. Now Solomon began to build the temple at the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, at the place that David had prepared on the threshing floor for Ornan the Jebusite. The threshing floor is in the city of David. The Bible tells us that. As soon as he captures the Jebusite city, he buys the threshing floor within the Jebusite city, which is the city of David.
Again, friends, the city of David is to the south of the Temple Mount. This is not disputed now, correct, Bob? Everyone knows the city of David.
Everyone knows that it's the south of the city. The thing, when David took the city of David from the Jebusites, up above there was nothing but a big rock protrusion. It took 1,000 years before anything was even built there. And that was the Roman fort, later be called the Praetorium. And we know that's be called the Praetorium because if you look in 333 A.D., a pilgrim went over there called, known as the Pilgrim of Bordeaux, and his writings are very explicit. He went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is under construction in 333. He looked due east, he says in his writings, and he saw the Roman fort, the long wall of the Roman fort. Well, if you go to, and we'll go over there, Frank, and I'll have everybody stand there. We look east from the tower of the church right there, and we look east, and all you see in all its glory is the long wall of the Roman fort. And that is that high rock point where the Dome of the Rock is built. According to the Bordeaux Pilgrim, he said, right underneath the Dome of the Rock there, the Dome of the Rock hadn't been built, but right underneath, right on top of that big rock protrusion, known as the Praetorium, is where Jesus was pronounced guilty. So the irony of this is this: we have this gold dome up there, and underneath it, said to be the third most holy site in all Islam, is where Jesus was pronounced guilty, right underneath the Dome of the Rock. And I think it's very that there's some irony to that.
Okay, the gentleman you're quoting from comes from about 333 A.D., but let's go back to the first century itself. You've got Josephus, the Jewish historian, who is actually one of the Jewish rebels in Jerusalem. He's born in 37 A.D. He dies in about 100 A.D. So he is one of the rebels in the early 60s, the late 60s, 66 to 70. He's one of the rebels against the Romans for the Jews, and later on he writes extensively about the Jewish war and about the area. What does Josephus, who was an eyewitness, he's in Jerusalem, what does he say about any of this? What does he say about maybe the location of the temple or the fortress Antonia? What does he say about it?
Well, first of all, he says that the complete and total utter destruction of the temple was wholesale. It was down to the last stone. In fact, we read in Micah, it says, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountains of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. Well, that doesn't sound like there's anything there left, okay? So it's the bare hills of the forest. Now, Josephus says that now, as to the Tower of Antonia, it might seem composed of several cities. It contained also four other distinct towers as its four corners, wherefore the others were but 50 cubits high. So Josephus is describing this huge monolith. Where is that Roman fort? No one has found one brick of that fort in all of Jerusalem. And archaeologists have been saying it's going to be found. It's going to be found in the upper city. It's going to be found on the western. They are saying it's going to be found. Have no doubt. Have no fear. We're going to find it. But this Roman fort, which lasted from the time just about when the Romans of Pompey went in there about 63 B.C., they stayed there to 289 A.D. So over 300 years they're there, and they would have had to have, and they were their sole job was to put down rebellions of the Jews and keep peace in the land. You can't build a huge 36-acre complex and allow them to put their temple up there, which they could defend anything. No, the Romans needed to control them. They had that Roman fort. They had what is the Temple Mount today. And in the city of David, lower down by about 600 feet, was the City of David, and so they could stand up on their high ramparts and look down into the City of David. We know that because Acts 21 talks about Paul being arrested at the temple gate. Then the commander from the Roman garrison ran down the steps to get him. Read it in Acts 21, ran down the steps to get Paul, grabbed Paul, took him back up the steps and into the Roman fort. That means the Roman fort has to be where the Temple Mount tradition is today, because there's no stairs going down to it from anywhere. So right, Acts 21 gives us, from a cop standpoint, it's impossible for it to be the temple. So we have all these verses, and it goes on and on, Frank. I can go on and on all day with verses and historians to talk about this.
Okay, so Josephus, well, you're also saying just from a military perspective and from a Roman perspective, they're not going to allow a temple, a Jewish temple, to be higher than their own fort, correct?
Or they're not going to allow it to be bigger and more well-defended,
right?
Because they were constantly dealing with rebellions. As you know, in 66 A.D. with the rebellion, and eventually Titus going in with four legions and just stomping them flat and destroying everything. So then they were kicked from the land. We have Jews out of the land for 700 years. So they lost where the temple was. In the 1st century and 4th century, all the way to the 4th century, people were still saying, where is the temple in the 4th century? They didn't know. They were guessing all over the place. There was not a consensus. But we have ancient writings. For instance, we have the Geniza documents from the 7th century talking about those Jews from Tiberias. When they went there, they said they wanted to build their temple, build in where the temple was located, and that is over the Gihon Springs. So the Tiberias Jews knew the temple was at the springs of Gihon, which is in the City of David and in the stronghold of Zion.
Now, there's no water source on the Temple Mount, the one that's called the Temple Mount now, which you're saying is the Antonia Fortress. Where is there a water source that the Bible says springs up inside the temple? Or does the Bible say it springs up inside the temple? What evidence do we have that first of all, the Bible says water's near the temple, and B, they would need water for the temple?
Right. Well, just picture. Okay, just go with me on this, those in the audience. Okay, the Roman fort is where, I believe, you know, where people say the Temple Mount is today, that
right.
Big gold dome up there. Just think of that as a Roman fort, and then go south of there, and there's a small little peninsula land, which is called the City of David, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, just go with me this. Okay, so here's what we have. We need to have running clear water for the purification rites in the temple. Dali Shukran told me that. Everybody told me that. There is not a drop of rushing water on the Temple Mount today, the traditional Temple Mount where the Dome of the Rock is. The Romans did bring in two aqueducts in there from south of Bethlehem for their water sources, because they couldn't put so much as a toe in the holy water of the Gihon Springs. Why are the Gihon Springs so important? If you read in 1 Kings 1:38, it talks about, it says, Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, gives a bunch of other prophets. And then it says, had Solomon ride on King David's mule and took him to Gihon. Then Zadok the priest took a horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. Do you understand what this is saying? This is so powerful. Because we have Solomon being taken down to the Gihon Springs. And there he's anointed. But it says here, the head priest took a horn of oil, which is the anointing oil, from the tabernacle. The tabernacle houses the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is there. David built the tent there on the threshing floor in the City of David. So the horn of oil came from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. That was located inside the City of David. Now, do we have to have water? Yes. Joel 3:18 says, a fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is the temple. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord. Aristeus, a half century after Alexander the Great, he says there is an inexhaustible reservoir of water which would be expected from an abundant spring gushing up naturally from within the temple. And then we have Roman historian Tacitus. He's about 400 years after Aristeus. He records that the temple had a natural spring of water that welled up from the interior. Zev Danelli says, at that time, a great stream shall flow forth from the holy temple, and its name is Gihon. The Dead Sea Scrolls say, you shall make a channel all around the laver within the building. The channel runs from the building of the laver to a shaft, goes down and disappears in the middle of the earth, so that the water flowing and runs in and is lost in the middle of the earth.
There is
so we have
a
all
lot.
These references to water. Even Ezekiel says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from
underneath. All right, hold the thought, Bob. We're coming up on a break. Hold the thought. The new book is called Temple by Bob Cornuke. You can get the book at baseinstitute.org. I'm Frank Turek. Back in 2 minutes, more with Dr. Bob Cornuke.
By the way, that's one of the reasons why I appreciate your broadcast as well, Jan. We need people that speak the truth today.
This is Jan Markell, and I try to help you understand the times each week here on AFR Talk. I believe we need to discern the times, and the Bible says we need to contend for the faith. We do that with you every Saturday at 1 and Sunday noon Central Time. Understanding the Times Radio, helping you be a watchman on the wall, Saturday at 1, Sunday 12 Central, here on AFR Talk.
When Tim Wildman asked me to become the voice of AFA Today, I was blown away. To think that Brother Don Wildman originally hosted this broadcast, he's been a hero of mine my entire life. So to have the opportunity to sit in the same chair, so to speak, is an honor beyond belief. But I would have to say the most enjoyable part of doing the show on a daily basis is getting to talk to the callers. They have a desire to see a different world come about, and I am ecstatic to be able to help bring it to them.
AFA Today, weekdays at noon Central on AFR Talk.
My name's Garrett, and a few years ago, I went through one of those life-shattering events as I watched my marriage crumble and I became a statistic of divorce. Now, there were some pretty dark days. How could a Christian guy get divorced? I mean, I was the guy who told others how faithful God was. And then all of a sudden, my shortcomings were made public, and there I was, a statistic. Then a couple of great guys reminded me of what God's Word says about a bunch of men and women who goofed up, messed up, and even went through rough stuff like divorce. Isn't that just like God to say, hey, I love you anyway, even if you are divorced? Well, today I still don't have it all together, but I do know that Jesus has changed me, restored me, and I'm becoming the dad and the new husband that He wants me to be. If you're there today and you don't think there's any hope, think again. Jesus is ready to spend some time with you on the road to restoration. You can meet Him right now. Just call 888-NEED-HIM or chat with us live at needhim.org.
If you're low on the FM dial looking for NPR, go no further. We're actually going to tell you the truth here. That's our intent anyway. I'm talking to my friend Dr. Bob Cornuke, the real Indiana Jones, with a kind of a shocking theory here that goes against what most academic archaeologists will say. But, you know, they've been wrong before. And there's a lot, it seems, at least on the surface, a lot of biblical evidence directly from the Bible, which seems to indicate that the real temple, the Temple of Solomon and then built by Herod, is actually or was in the city of David, which is about 200 yards to the south of the Temple Mount, where tradition says that the temple of Herod actually was. My friend Bob Cornuke is actually saying that is the Antonia Fortress, the Temple Mount. And in fact, Bob, am I not mistaken, but I might be on this, but I thought that some folks who tried to reconstruct the Temple Mount area in a model put the Antonia Fortress kind of in the northwest corner of what we would call the Temple Mount now, but that would not be big enough to hold 10,000 people, correct?
Yeah, that's the Aviyana model over in, if you go to the Israeli Museum, you'll see this. And you know, he was having to construct a place for the Roman fort, and it's comically placed there. If you go see it today, you see this huge Temple Mount, and you see this tiny little appendage, very similar, like if you put a one-car garage next to a 50,000-square-foot mansion. it's just ridiculous. And so it's only about 300 feet by 400 feet. And people have said, okay, to justify this, there can't be 10,000 soldiers in that. So this model. So what they've done is a lot of translations have taken a togma or a legion, and they've retranslated it in their translations of Josephus and call it a cohort, which is only 480 men. Hmm. So they're trying to say there's only 480 men taking care of a quarter million Jews. Well, that's ridiculous, because when Paul was arrested at the temple we just talked about, and he was taken to Caesarea before his famous boat ride to Malta, he had 470 soldiers go with him. Hmm. So there can't be a togma in a cohort there of 480 men, because 470 took Paul to Caesarea. So they had plenty of people to spare, and it would have been 10,000 personnel. And so we have this, and if you look at Roman forts today, they're all about that 36-acre, same rectangle shape as you find on the Temple Mount. In fact, it is just almost, you can laminate the old forts on top of the Temple Mount, and it fit perfect with the size of a Roman fort. And that was the Roman fort.
Now, the article that came out this week from the archaeologist Eli Shukram, who has been digging under the city of David for the past two decades, says he's found the citadel captured by King David. Now, you're saying that's just not the citadel. That would be where the temple was. Would he say that as well or not?
No, he would say that. Well, he'd say that what he's saying is when I met with Eli, he goes, Bob, this is the city of David. This is the stronghold of Zion. He took me down to the Gihon Springs, and when he just found this new room that's dated to the time of, you know, Solomon, of course it would have been caved in, and they would have built on top of it. If you had a fire go through, you know, your subdivision, your house is destroyed, you've got to scrape it and start over. So they would have, you know, the construction workers for Herod would have filled in anything that was even, you know, gaps and whatnot. But Solomon's temple was about 30 feet underground, and we found those rooms, or Eli did, and I was one of the first five people in there. And there was an oil press for the olive oil pressing, and we know from Scripture that they used the olive oils for the anointing. They used the rushing water, and then they went right into the temple. And they wouldn't have walked a quarter mile up to the Temple Mount going through animal dung and people and be contaminated, like just like a doctor scrubbing up for surgery. You go right into the temple. And so we have evidence now, other evidence we found, archaeological evidence, right over the Gihon Springs that verifies that is the location, the actual location of the temple from a bula that had been just recently found there. So we have this bula that was just found right at the site, which is very, very exciting.
All right, you've got a lot of this evidence listed in your book. The book is called Temple by Bob Cornuke. It's a brand new book. On page 69, I see you have a listing of all of the verses that indicate that Zion is the city of David. And then, of course, you have other scripture references which point out that Zion is where the temple is. So if Zion is where the city of David is, and Zion is also where the temple is, then the temple is in the city of David. That seems to be the scriptural referent. And now you're saying that there is archaeological evidence as well, and that's why Eli Shukran has come out just this week, or an article has been written about him just this week, to talk about this citadel that he's discovered. Now, Bob, when you and I go over there, and we're going to lead a whole group of people over there in about a month, we're actually going to go to these places. If you'd like to join us, go to our website, crossexamined.org. That's crossexamined with a D on the end of it, .org, and you'll see the banner come up for Israel. This is going to be an amazing trip. We're going to spend 10 days in Israel. Bob's going to be with us in Jerusalem for three full days. He's going to show us all these new tunnels and areas under the city of David. We're going to get to meet Eli Shukram. That's our intent anyway. And so if you want to join us, just go to crossexamined.org to learn more. You can also call an 800 number. I'm looking for that number right now, because this is going to be an amazing trip. What is Rhonda's number? There it is. 888-771-8717. That's 888-771-8717 if you want to join us on this trip to the Holy Land. And by the way, right in the middle of it, we're going to spend a day or two at a Dead Sea Spa. And it's just going to be an amazing trip. We're going to see all the big sites in Israel, including this new area that has just been really open to the public just very, very recently. Now, Bob, what other evidence did you discover that kind of relocates the temple from the Temple Mount to this area? Is there anything else you can share with us? I know there's so much more in the book, but what else might you say to somebody who's really doubting this? Because, you know, all the other archaeologists are saying, oh, no, it's the Temple Mount. What else would you say to them?
You have the tour guides that just read off a script.
Right.
So, you know, we have evidence such as Eusebius, who is the curator of the Library of Caesarea, the father of church history. This guy's the man, okay? He says, the hill called Zion in Jerusalem, the building there, that is to say the temple, the Holy of Holies, the altar and everywhere else was dedicated to the glory of and have utterly removed and shaken down in fulfillment of the Lord. So the verses, the history that we have, the physical archaeological evidence is that is above where we say the temple is located, and we think without a doubt it's located over the Gihon Springs. They just found bula over there. Bula are these clay seals that are stamped, and they're stamped with names of people, so there'd be confidentiality. So if I wanted to send Frank a letter, I'd put string around it, put a piece of clay on it, stamp it into the string, so if you ever cut the string, I'd know that the message has been compromised. So they did this in the old days for this confidentiality. So this bula had the name of the person that was sending it. And there's a guy named Gemariu, who's son of Shaphan, and he read the scrolls to the king Josiah, initiating the temple reform that has been lost. Okay, and we read in Jeremiah 36:10, then Barak read from the book, Baruch read from the book, the words of Jeremiah, and in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the upper court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the temple. His office, so to speak, was in the temple, and all his bula were found. When the Babylonians came in and burned it down, it burned that bula, it seared it, it turned that clay into hardened ceramic, and it's lasted all these times. So we have his bula, which should have been in his chamber in the house of the Lord, the Bible said, and is found right above the sanctuary that was just discovered by Eli. So all these things are just fascinating that we find in history.
Okay, so the Babylonians come in, destroy the temple, and that's, of course, when Jeremiah was, he was warning about the judgment coming. So his scribe's bula, how do you pronounce it, bula, is located in the city of David where Eli Shukram is saying the citadel was.
Well, it was found right over the temple, 30 feet above the temple where we think they did the blood sacrifices, because we found the rings where they did the sacrifice. The place was full of bones, by the way, full of bones that had been, animals had been sacrificed. But this bula was found 30 feet above it, like putting it on your rooftop of your house.
Okay, right. Bob, you know, you have a nasty habit of actually following the Bible and trying to see if it's true. Why do you do that, Bob? You're an archaeologist. You're not supposed to believe the Bible. Come on.
Well,
what's going on?
Just read Psalm 48, 9 through 13. It says, we have thought of, O God, of your loving kindness in the midst of your temple, according to your name, O God, so your praise to the earth, the ends of the earth, your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Okay, it's talking about the temple. It says, let Mount Zion, let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion and go around her, count her towers, mark well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that you may tell it to generations following. In other words, we should have followed what the Bible says about where the temple should be. And it says here in Scripture, we should do this to teach other generations. We should walk around the bulwarks of where? Zion, to determine what is there. The temple. That's what the Scripture is telling us here. And we have not done that. We have let man's tradition put a big hook in us, drag us over to another location, convince us wholesalely that this is the place, and we go along ignorantly and hurting our faith, I think. We actually think we actually pain God because we followed man's traditions and not followed what the Bible has to say.
Fascinating stuff. Bob, thanks so much for being on the show. The book is called Temple, Amazing New Discoveries That Change Everything About the Location of Solomon's Temple. It is available on Amazon, but if you want to get a special deal, go to Bob's website, baseinstitute.org, baseinstitute.org. And if you want to join Bob and me in Israel, 888-771-8717, 888-771-8717. We're going in June. See you next week, friends. God bless. Thanks very much.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.